Good morning, Dr. Clendenny. How are you?
Well, sore, tired, and exhausted, but that's all a separate story for this. How's the Michael Liberci today?
Feeling spry. Feeling very
Spry.
spry.
Nice term.
I am. Listen, the season's turning, out of baseball fields late at night, working out, doing things with the kids that are outdoor and suggests that hibernation is beginning to be over. Looking at lawn services are popping around neighborhoods. I saw some flowers growing in the woods the other day at a game. I was, this is turning. We're dehibernating and we are blossoming. And I feel like it brings me to this point where I was in a conversation the other day and somebody paid me a compliment and they gave me some credit, and I said, "Wow, I don't realize, I don't realize what I do. I don't realize that I help people sometimes. I just do what I do." And then it got, and I felt like guilty for taking the accolades, which I know is weird, because it just, you are helping somebody, and to me, I don't recognize always the monumental shifts. I recognize progress, but in myself, I don't recognize my own shifts. So I want to talk about that external validation and needing it and not needing it. And then, how do you feel like when somebody pays you a compliment? Like when you showed me the stuff you were doing framing your house, you're like, "Yeah, I'm not recovering that much." I'm like, "Yeah, great, dude. You're like an Amish worker, knocking out, 4 days of work in one." It's anyway, like, yeah, no shit, you're not recovering well. Where's the other five guys helping you frame the joint? Like, duh, Hercules. So how do you feel when, and I know you go through it. I know you can accept a compliment, but I know you've got to go through that same thing too, maybe not exactly. But how does it feel when the coach gets coached and the coach gets praised? How do you feel inside?
Well, I agree with you, and we'll talk a little bit more about the house too. That's a tough one because there's depending on where you grew up and how you grew up, I think has a lot to do with it. Of there's that humility piece, right? There's depending on how you were raised, right? How you were built to accept that as, is it cool to accept praise? There's when I used to coach soccer for the girls. There were other parents that were, you've all seen them on the sidelines. They would run up and down the field on the sideline, screaming at their kids, being the sideline coach, that sort of thing. But there's never any necessary praise coming from them of, hey, I think you're doing a good job. They're being, I wouldn't even say they're coaching. They're consulting their kid. They're trying to like video game their kid. If they had a joystick, they'd drive them on the field. That particular kid is going to grow up accepting feedback differently than the parent that just sits on the sideline. And they get done with the game and they go, here's what I really liked what you did. I thought this was great, and give them different kinds of feedback. So I think the environment that you get raised in has a lot to do with how you receive feedback as an adult. So for me, as an example, I tend to be, even at this second as I'm saying it, I find it kind of weird. I tend to be a little bit humble, and that's not a word I use a lot because a lot of people are like, man, you're really outwardly gregarious, but I tend to be a little bit humble in that, and I'm like, oh, thank you very much, I really appreciate that, is how I tend to receive feedback. And yet I kind of downplay it a little bit on how good it may or may not have been. I would say that there's, and maybe this is true for you, I'll ask you this question. I think there's specific people that we look for praise from, and those are the ones that we want the praise from, and I'm just speculating here. And maybe there's some other people that if you give me the praise, I'm going to play humble, but you're not really the one I'm playing for. Would you think that's just a theory I'm kind of throwing out there? You think that may be true a little bit of that?
Yeah, I think it is true. I think you're right. And I like that phrase, not the one you're playing for. It's so hard to disassociate
Trademark not
from
intended.
that. But it's so hard to disassociate from that because we always want to win over. There's this inherent need to please. I don't care who you are. You got to be really comfortable and really evolved with, or have more people that you please than you don't. There's this inherent, I'm just seeing it, all the years of coaching, need to win over the naysayers. There's always this, and I don't know whether it's movies, I don't know what the storyline is, but there just seems to be this inherent, I've got to flip the iceberg over. I can't just be satisfied with the top of the iceberg out of the water that I can see, I can walk around on. No, no, no. I've got to flip the iceberg and get the big side out of the water. I've got to do the impossible. I've got to win over the crowd. And as I've gotten older, I realize if you feel that way, you just don't appreciate who you appeal to or who likes you. And that, yeah, that thirst will never end. Rick, your statement was so powerful right there. You know, I'm not playing for you. I'm not going for you. And when I use that iceberg analogy, it makes me just, I spent years exhausting myself trying to win people over and get praise from people and get validation. And it's nice to have, but man, at what point, I would love to know the metric, that's all. At what point do you really say, yeah, okay, I'm good, I'm solid, I don't really need to do that anymore? How much coaching do you think that takes?
Endless is about what it would take. I don't know from human nature that we're gonna get past that. I'm gonna take that statement back. I will amend that and say that there are those that outwardly to me, right, the outward appearance, do not appear to need external validation. They don't need it. They're doing it for them. They're doing it for joy. They're doing it for whatever their reason. They don't look that way. Now, I'm not inside their head. I don't know if it's true or not, but it appears from the outside that there are those that just do not need outward validation. I'm not one of them. I'll just own it right now. I'm not one of those people. It may look that way to some people. I'm not. Like, I crave people. Plain and simple. I'm a herd animal. Plain and simple. I like community. I like people. I hate doing things alone. Hate it, hate it, hate it. Not going to lie. And no amount of coaching is going to talk me out of that. I'm good at a lot of things by myself, but I don't want to. I don't have to. We're herd animals. How many billions of people are there on the planet? I don't have to exist alone. So it's not something I choose to do. And I do crave some outward validation. I've done really well in the last 6 months, not deleting social media, but not looking to social media for validation as a space that I look at. And I mean, that just, and this is again me just talking about it, and I know it's an easy place to look for it. There are, but in that, in as I sat here listening to you thinking about the who am I playing for, there are probably 10 to 12 people in my universe that I look to impress. Plain and simple, there's probably those 10 or 12 people that I am right now, I'm physically doing things that, like, I want them to go, wow, man, that's really cool. Like, there are those, I do want that. I'm not going to lie that that's a thing that I want. And I don't know that it's everybody else. So that it's an interesting, this is totally not where we expected to go with this today, but that's an interesting thought process of who are you playing for?
Right. So. And I feel the same way. You know, I look at the project you're undertaking right now, and I'll reflect on some things I do. And it's like, you're not, it may look like you're trying to impress somebody by doing all your work and everything else, but no, you have a skill set and you want things a certain way. You have a speed that you operate with, and you're doing it for yourself and your family so that you can enjoy it. It's not you're trying to impress them, but you're trying to maybe impress upon people, hey, you know, I'm going to be out, and this is our new domicile, right? This is going to be our castle. And I have a sense of urgency, and I have a sense of pride in what I'm doing, and I'm going to do it right, but I'm going to do it fast, and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to allow other people to shape shift this empty space into my domicile, I'm going to do it. And I think when I'm working with my kids and I coach, and I'm not coach, I don't coach them all, like I assistant coach some teams, but I'm not the head guy. But when I go out and work out on our own, I tell them all the time, I break it down into like modules. I say, listen, you know, some of my kids are real small. And I say, look, we're working on certain skills so that when you have to use those skills, you have a better experience in using your skills. You have a physical body, you have the skill of playing the sport, and then each and every action has about four or five components for a breakdown. And we're working on certain areas. And all of a sudden, I'm not training them. I'm not living through them. They understand that, hey, wait, this is helping me. Now, and by the way, I think everyone gets one pass at being that idiot that's running up and down the sidelines. You get one pass at doing that. And if somebody can pull you aside and say, listen, do you want a remote control for your child? And all of a sudden it's like, whoa. I've seen it. I have been there. I've been there once with every kid. I've been there about three times with every kid. And then, no, actually, I've been there three times with my two older kids, and that's it. My younger, you know. But that was 10 years ago, maybe. Like, you know, you stop doing that every once in a while. And parents, if you are a helicopter parent at any age, you need to step back and relax. Take notes and work on it at home. There's my coaching advice to you.
Your kid needs feedback. He doesn't need remote control. Your kid needs feedback. Hey, here's what I saw. And ask them the questions. What did your coach see? What did your coach tell you? How did you feel? What were you playing? How were you doing it? That's what they want. That's what they need. They like, and I know we're totally off.
I have a topic for this.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. But I agree. I think everybody gets the pass. And I mean, as a parent, like, we want to support our kids the best way that we think we know how, right? And it's funny, I almost said it, but there's no book for this. There's billions of books that teach you how to be the parent. But we do it our own way, and that's totally cool. Like, we're doing the best that we can with the resources that we have available. And some parents feel that supporting their kids is running up and down the sidelines trying to remote control them. I got to be honest, you're not helping your kid, man. There's Mayhem commercial? Yeah, you currently got the Mayhem commercial where the kid's the baseball dad. I laugh so hard at that commercial because there's so many of those out there. And it's not dads. I have seen just as many moms running up and down the sidelines trying to remote control their kid. If you're there supporting them, you're you know, hey, great job, you know, hey, you'll get it next time, whatever it's going to be, that's what they want, right? And I'm saying that from my perspective. My parents were not those parents that ran up and down the sidelines during my sports times, that not what they did at all. And I'm grateful for that. Like, I never have to look back and go, oh my God, that's my parents, you know, and be really embarrassed about them on the field. And I've seen those kids, I've coached those kids. And I've had to have that conversation with those parents about it. I've had to throw parents as a ref when I was a ref for a while, I've had to throw parents out of the game, because of that. So like, Just know, yeah, yep, I've had to red card them. Totally a thing. So, and you hate to do it, but I mean, you just get too far. So, I mean, there's passion, guys. Be passionate about what you're doing. But the reality is, if you're not playing the game, the feedback is what they need.
Yeah,
that's what I'll tell you.
I've got something to share about being passionate, and I want to take a quick excerpt because for now, I'll talk about this webinar you and I have coming up. And mm-hmm. I want to talk before we go to that, when we stop talking about that, I want to talk about how to approach coaches. And again, it's not a lesson in parenting. This is just a thought process when people approach you. So what is it? May 13th?
Wednesday, May 13th. Yeah.
What time?
Noon Eastern Standard Time.
Noon Eastern Standard Time. We came up with this communications formula, the CRG, and it's going to be fantastic. As I've read through it, Jake birthed it, and I'm pretty excited about sharing this. It's going to be a big webinar. You and I are going to be live doing it, and I'm just so excited to bring this communication tool out to people, to coaches, to corporations, And the playbook by which you and I learn to communicate and disseminate communication, because again, communication is key. And if it's one thing you and I can do is communicate, we're doing it right now. Wouldn't you say?
I totally agree. So it's, Mike's right. It's, so what we developed, it's a tool. Okay. And this is a tool that everybody can use, but salespeople, human resources managers, customer retention individuals, anybody in an organization. Yeah. All of these things. This is not here's the script that you need to memorize to regurgitate for a situation. That's not what this is. And I come out of that universe, so I get it. This is actually the tool that can help guide you through any conversation more organically so that you connect, right? You're going to connect, you're going to build rapport, and you're going to grow from it, CRG. So that's what we've built, and this came about organically from some coaching situations corporately that we've had recently in the last year, to where we know there's been a big disconnect between either the leadership team and the L1s or the L2s, to where they're not connecting, they're not communicating, they're not getting there. So we've totally seen that. We've also seen it in sales, and everybody has had this happen before, to where you've gotten on a sales call and that other person just isn't listening to you, doesn't hear you, doesn't understand what you're talking about at all. They just are driving down their agenda, and it's because they have that regurgitated script in their head. So this is a tool I've not seen anywhere to be very lame and kind of stick with our name, our theme here, is this is a game changer. Right. This is a game-changing tool that just doesn't seem to exist.
May 13th.
Yep. Already happened in March, but May 13th is our next webinar. Yep.
Game-changing webinar, May 13th. Where do they go to sign up for the webinar?
So you can go to our website, www.total-disruption.com, and check out the Eventbrite. It's all over the place. It's actually going to be on our Kajabi website. We're super, super stoked about that, for being able to host it over there. Go check it out. And it's free to come. You're going to get the tool to be able to use, and then there's some additional resources that you get to have by showing up. So May 13th, put it on your calendar. We're doing it live, so there's not gonna be a replay, but you can watch it in a lot of places.
There you go. All right, so how to talk to coaches, right? So how people should talk to you if you're a person of authority, and how you should maybe approach anytime there's a metric of improvement on anybody, or you're coaching somebody, or you're a recipient of coaching, it's like this. And I shock a ton of coaches. No one knows what to do when I do this, because I ask a question and I get an answer that is as if I asked a completely different question. I'm like, is there a communication issue here? So if I look around the field, right? And this is just anywhere, right? Anywhere. If I look around the field and everyone says, oh, hey, you're biased. I'm not biased in my own kids. 35 years of probably, So I've worked out since I was 15, 45 years of athletics. I'm a professional fitness trainer, high level of involvement in that. I am not biased in my own kids. I will call bullshit on somebody that says I'm biased. And just because I don't flex my muscles all the time in this arena doesn't mean I don't know everything that's going on, because I've seen it 50,000 times. There's my expert positioning, 50,000 times. I've had over 50,000 hours in the industry. Anyway, remember, it takes 10,000 to be an expert. So I ask, if I see something on a team and I say, wait a minute, I don't know why my kid's getting overlooked, or I don't know why a certain kid's getting overlooked. The question to the coach is, hey, what are you seeing that are the deficiencies in the performance, mentally or physically, in my kid or so-and-so, as to why they're not allowed to contribute to the team as much? And what are your metrics of improvement? And either I'm going to get, that's my buddy's kid. I'm going to get some bullshit answer. Every blue moon, I get exactly what I need to hear. Right? Every blue moon, I go, oh, he's not moving laterally enough, or he looks like he doesn't want to be there, or they're judging him on his facial expression, which is, then I get after it. Anyway, they're judging him on this, they're judging him on that. So I get the metric, but a lot of times people only hear, why isn't my kid getting more playing time? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I'm asking that, but I'm asking what your metrics for playing time are, because if you see it, chances are there's an area of improvement that we need to be working on and we need to dig in. And now the goal for me to communicate to my 15-year-old is to ask that of his coaches. So now that script is flipping, right? So take it away, man. What's your little take on me and hearing? And now you're a coach, right? You're a coach, but you were a former sports coach.
Yep.
And when somebody comes to you and says, what's your metrics of improvement for people putting players in the A-list?
Typically, what I've noticed of athletic coaches in particular, I wasn't different. I'll own this one all day. I wasn't different. There's a wall. There's a barrier for entry to be able to talk to parents, because every parent comes up and says the exact, basically gives you the one question, which is, why isn't my kid getting more playing time? Right? You're going to get that 25 times. So what's happening with the coach is, it's not that Mike isn't asking the right question. And I want to also throw out here the input equals output. Whatever question you ask, if you're getting the wrong answer, you're asking the wrong question. That's just historically what it is. Not that Mike is asking the wrong question for Mike. Mike is asking the wrong question to get into that coach's head, to get into that space, because the coach is already, you know, he's predetermined. He has three responses in which he is going to respond to a parent, right? To anybody that's on the side. He's got certain responses for kids, and he's got canned responses. He doesn't have the mental clarity, the capacity in the moment. If he sees a parent walking up to him, he's immediately going to throw up the wall and go, oh God, they're going to ask me about their playing time for their kid again. Plain and simple. That's what they do. That is just where they are in that space. So as he's building that wall, like, you have to go a different way, knowing that, you know, the canned response, and Mike has tested it 50,000 times, and so this would be where we have to change the approach, plain and simple, knowing that the coach is already predetermined that he's going to give you the canned answer. We have to go in there almost as an NLP standpoint, as a state break. Ask him something completely unrelated that he's totally not expecting it, to where it's going to cause them to blink and kind of look back like, oh, what, and actually engage in the conversation instead of regurgitate that. And you see this with, L1 leadership, you see this in executives, you see this all across the board, is there is a certain question that everybody's going to ask if they come into that, which means they're going to come up with their canned response. And that's where we just have to ask a different question.
Well, that's why I crafted it the way I crafted it, because I want to hear their metrics, because it's not that you're going to get more playing time by asking that. And you never ask a coach day of the game. You always ask a coach Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, midweek. It's just common courtesy. And with the same thing, I also send praise to coaches. Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. I don't ask, but I always make sure I'm balanced. I say, thanks for the opportunities. In certain cases, remember, in my world with coaches, probably I've dealt with all the different sports and all the different, probably 20, 25 different coaches. Navigated dad ball, probably most of the, I would say 5 out of the 25. Were amicable, approachable, and then you start layering in, hey, this person's not even a coach, they're just a dad trying to do their best. So then expectations shift, then you go the dad route. So that's all good information, right? But remember, input equals output. That thing keeps showing up. I wish we had more time. Maybe we'll go over that next time, input equals output. That was so powerful when you gave that speech in where were we, LA, right? When you
yeah,
gave
Long Beach.
that talk on that boat, man, that was cool. The input equals output. Yeah, that's what we're doing next. So, guys, make sure you tune in next to our next episode of Total Disruption. That sounded like a measured segue, but it really isn't. We're out of time for today. Jake, you got anything else to add before we jump?
No, man. Let's jump.
All right, man. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Total Disruption. My name is Mike Liberci, and for my esteemed colleague, Dr. Jake Mundane, we'll see you next time.